from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news. So stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 4750 kHz.
President Joko Widodo welcomed state visit of Governor General of Australia David Hurley. Delegates of the 10th World Water Forum WWF start arriving in Bali. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where President Joko Widodo received the state visit of the Governor General of Australia David Hurley at the Bogor Presidential Palace in West Java on Friday. As reported by RRI.co.id, the vehicle accompaniment of the Governor General arrived at the Bogor Palace at around 9 a.m. Indonesia Western Time. Then President Joko Widodo welcomed Governor General David when he got out of the car and immediately shook hands. During the meetings, both leaders planted ironwood trees in the backyard of the Bogor Palace and toured the Bogor Botanical Gardens using a boogie car driven by President Joko Widodo. The Australian Embassy to Indonesia stated Governor General Hurley and his wife had visited Indonesia from last Tuesday until next Saturday. The visit is an opportunity to celebrate 75 years of diplomatic relations of both countries. Governor General Hurley has also pointed out that Indonesia will always be one of Australia's strategic partners. He said that he visited Indonesia to celebrate the friendship between the two countries and pay tribute to the people from both countries. President Joko Widodo congratulated the inauguration of Lawrence Wong as Prime Minister of Singapore on his social media account X at Jokowi on Thursday. The President stated that Indonesia is ready to continue mutually beneficial cooperation with Singapore and maintain ASEAN centrality. In another tweet, President Joko Widodo expressed his gratitude to the previous Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong for his contribution in strengthening bilateral relations between Indonesia and Singapore. Previously, Wong and Lee had visited Indonesia on April 29, 2024, when Wong was still serving as Deputy Prime Minister. The meeting took place at the Bogor Presidential Palace in West Java. On that occasion, President Joko Widodo introduced Minister of Defense Prabowo Subianto as President-elect in the 2024 election. Both leaders expressed commitment to strengthen cooperation in various fields. Lawrence Wong was sworn in on Wednesday as the fourth Prime Minister of Singapore, replacing Lee Hsien Loong, who served for two decades. The Regional Office of the Ministry of Law and Human Rights Kemenkumham Bali noted that delegates of the 10th World Water Forum WWF tent serving started arriving through I Gusti Ngurah Rai International Airport, Badung Regency, Bali. As quoted by Antara Head of the Regional Office of the Ministry of Law and Human Rights Bali, Pramela Yunidar Pasaribu in Denpasar on Bali, on Friday pointed out that his site has prepared three immigration inspection counters in anticipation. He also explained that the delegates have started arriving since Wednesday and they are expected to continue to arrive before the beginning of its implementation on Saturday. It is estimated that around 9,400 delegates from 104 countries are scheduled to attend the Global Water Forum in Nusa Dua, Bali. To maintain the smooth flow of the arrival of the delegates with regular passengers at the immigration door, it separates the lane. Ngurah Rai Immigration also installed signage at the number of strategic points to facilitate delegates in the process of getting to the inspection counter and conduct training to immigration officers in serving foreign delegates. Indonesian State Maritime Polytechnic Semarang Central Java has established educational cooperation in the maritime sector with Jiangsu Shipping College GSSC from Jiangsu, China, and three other Chinese partners recently. As reported by Antara on Friday, this collaboration was marked by the signing of the cooperation document in Semarang on Wednesday. The program, namely Changhe College, involves two industry players and one research association. This program will train international standard technicians in the maritime sector, which includes the development of vocational education and training for educators and students. The polytechnic students who are taking part in the program have the opportunity to take part in maritime education directly on the GSSC campus and have the opportunity to work in cooperation partner companies if they meet the requirements. Let's move it on to the international news, where fast-moving thunderstorm pummeled southeastern Texas on Thursday for the second time this month, killing at least four people, blowing out windows in high-rise buildings, downing trees, and knocking out power to more than 900,000 homes and businesses in the Houston area. As reported by VOA.com, officials urged residents to keep off roads as many were impassable and traffic lights were expected to be out for much of the night. Houston Mayor John Whitmer, in an evening briefing, conveyed that his side, first responders, will be working around the clock. He invited the people to stay at home tonight, not go to work tomorrow unless they are an essential worker, stay home and take care of their children. The mayor said four people died during the severe weather. At least two of the deaths were caused by falling trees, and another happened when a crane blew over in strong winds. Trucks carrying badly needed aid for the Gaza Strip rolled across a newly built U.S. floating pier into a besieged enclave for the first time Friday, as Israeli restrictions on border crossings and heavy fighting hinder food and other supplies reaching people there. As quoted by ArabNews.com, the U.S. Military Central Command acknowledged the aid movement in a statement on Friday, saying the first aid crossed into Gaza at 9 a.m. It said no American troops went ashore in the operation. According to the command, this is an ongoing multinational effort to deliver additional aid to Palestinian civilians in Gaza via maritime corridor that is entirely humanitarian in nature and will involve aid commodities donated by a number of countries and humanitarian organizations. The Singapore Institute of Architects, or SIA, on Thursday launched a blueprint in a bid to stem long-standing issues plaguing the provision. As reported by ChannelNewsAsia.com, low wages, long hours, a lack of work-life balance, and high stress have led to many young graduates quitting the industry altogether in recent years. In 2021, survey conducted by SIA, only 7% of young graduates said they were likely to stay in the profession in the long run. The Value Articulation Framework, which was announced at the 18th Singapore ArchiFest, aims not only to address these issues, but also eradicate fee diving, where firms quote well below market rates for tenders. Listener, now let's move it on to commentary for today.
Today's commentary is on Singapore's new Prime Minister's foreign policy. Lawrence Wong was sworn in as Prime Minister of Singapore on Wednesday, May the 15th. Wong is the fourth government leader since Singapore's independence on August the 9th, 1965. Like his predecessors, he is a member of the People's Action Party. Quoted by Channel News Asia on Thursday, May the 16th, in his first speech as the country ulang, in his first speech as the country's leader after he was inaugurated, Singapore Prime Minister Lawrence Wong said he would use his own style in advancing Singapore in the future. According to him, the style of government that will be displayed is different from previous generations. Wong did not explain clearly what this leadership style was like. What is clear is that a different leadership style is eagerly awaited by Singaporeans to solve various problems, such as, among other things, widening income disparities, increasingly unaffordable housing prices, population density caused by migration, and so on. In his first speech, Prime Minister Lawrence Wong promised to help realize the dream of a renewed Singapore, a dream that is not only defined by material success, but also provides meaning and purpose in the careers and lives of Singaporeans. Lawrence Wong is also committed to involving the younger generation in Singapore's development to ensure that its government runs in accordance with the aspirations and needs of the people. Wong's foreign policy is highly anticipated by many countries, considering Singapore's reputation in the international arena so far. In his maiden speech, Lawrence Wong revealed the city-state's foreign policy. Among other things, he touched on the rivalry between the United States and China. Lawrence Wong hopes that the two countries can have stable relations. The new prime minister also emphasized that Singapore will remain neutral and continue to maintain good relations with the United States and China. The Lawrence Wong's government's neutral stance is understandable because historically, China is Singapore's largest trading partner, while the United States is its largest foreign investor and important military partner. Hopefully, Prime Minister Lawrence Wong will maintain neutrality amidst global rivalries, including the rivalry between the United States and China. Singapore's neutrality is very important to maintain, not only for the good of Singapore itself, but also for global stability. That was today's commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. I'll start today in history with May 17, 1949, when Kalimantan Proclamation announced on May 17, 1949, Governor of the Republic of Indonesia Navy's 4th Division of Kalimantan Defense, Lieutenant Colonel Hasan Basri, announced the proclamation of Kalimantan in Kandangan, now in Hulu Sungai Selatan Regency, South Kalimantan. This proclamation stated that South Kalimantan was an inseparable part of the Republic of Indonesia, which was proclaimed in 1945. This proclamation was a form of reaction to the Linggarjati Agreement, which stated that the territory of the Republic of Indonesia only covered parts of the islands of Sumatra and Java and didn't include Kalimantan. Let's move on to the next event on May 17, 1954, when the United States Supreme Court abolishes racial segregation in schools. On May 17, 1954, the United States Supreme Court declared segregation or separation of students based on race in public schools unconstitutional and must be abolished. This decision was taken after a black citizen, Oliver Brown, discovered that his daughter was not accepted at a public school in Topeka, Kansas, and required her daughter to attend a black school farther away. Brown and 12 other black families then filed a lawsuit against the local board of education, eventually appealing to the United States Supreme Court. The verdict paved the way for racial integration and the civil rights movement in the United States. I'll end today in history with May 17, 2006, when World Hypertension Day designated. World Hypertension Day is a day established and initiated by the World Hypertension League, which is a forum for 85 national hypertension organizations from all over the world. This day was initiated to raise public awareness of hypertension. This is due to lack of proper knowledge among hypertensive patients. The World Hypertension League launched World Hypertension Day on May 14, 2005. The following year, the World Hypertension League designated May 17 as the World Hypertension Day.
Selalu jadi satu kenangan manis. Tiada yang salah, hanya aku manusia bodoh yang biarkan semua ini permainkanku. Coba bertahan sekuat hati, layaknya karang yang diempas ombak. Jalani hidup dalam buai belakang, serahkan cinta tulus di dalam takdir. Tak ayal tingkahlah sasa. Kadang akal sehat ini cukup membendungnya. Hanya keberian yang selalu datang menertawakanku. Karang yang diempas ombak, jalani hidup dalam buai belakang,
coba bertahan sekuat hati. Layaknya karang yang diam pasang ombak, jalani hidup dalam buai belaka. Serahkan cinta tulus di dalam takdir, tapi sampai bersemayam dalam kalbu.
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia Today focuses on friend sharing, a chance for improving Indonesian economy. The Indonesian Trade Ministry stated that friend sharing, a practice of moving supply chains to allies or friend countries in transnational trade, is a chance for Indonesia to enhance its economy. The trade trend was seen from COVID-19 pandemic era, in which there was a movement of U.S. export-import, which earlier was dominated from China, gradually to Mexico. This was stated by the Trade Ministry's head of trade policy, Kasan, in Jakarta on Wednesday, as quoted by Antara. Kasan further conveyed Indonesia is benefited since it has an independent active foreign policy system, not bound by any trade bloc, so export potential can be optimized when friendshoring happens. Moreover, Kasan further said that Indonesia is benefited since it has an independent active foreign policy system, not bound by any trade bloc, so export potential can be optimized when friendshoring happens. Furthermore, Kasan conveyed that Indonesia can optimize the trade potential in friendshoring phenomena for the processing or manufacturing sectors, as well as electric vehicle development by using domestic resources. Kasan further remarked that the utilization must come with supporting infrastructures and proper manpower. Meanwhile, a researcher of Research Associate at Economic Research Institute for ASEAN and East Asia, David Christian, said one of the factors of friendshoring is rivalry between the U.S. and China. According to him, the tension between the two superpowers spread to trade and economy and escalated to the technology sector. The Indonesian trade balance 2023 in a total was surplus $36.93 billion. The Indonesian export in 2023 was $258.82 billion, or lower than the previous years with $291.90 billion. Despite decreasing in value, the export volume in 2023 still grew by 8.55% year-on-year. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Penuh diri wanita.
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. On 9th May 2024, the people of Plebangan Kidul, Plebangan Tengah, and Plebangan Lower Hamlets, Gunung Kidul Regency, Yogyakarta, held a tradition called Bersih Telaga Kedokan. Bersih Telaga Kedokan is one of the annual agendas of the Gunung Kidul community, particularly the Plebangan Hamlet, as a form of community gratitude for the utilization of the Kedokan Lake. In addition, Bersih Telaga Kedokan also continues to be held to preserve the hereditary tradition as a form of lake preservation and respect for the ancestors who have struggled to make the lake. Listener, the implementation of Bersih Telaga Kedokan is also not far from the Rasulan tradition or village cleanup in other areas. Telaga Kedokan cleanup is usually only held on Kamis Legi. The activity begins with cleaning the Kedokan Lake area and then it is continued by holding a Kenduri Wilujengan. After the Kenduri, the activity continues with the performance of Ledek Janggrung or Ledek Tayub, a traditional dance art from Gunung Kidul. After the Janggrung, players dance in the lake with the elders. Usually, the residents will dance with the Janggrung dancers. The Janggrung is held so that residents can have fun and as a clean requirement in the lake. Listener, the Kedokan Lake cleanup tradition is carried out by the people of Plebangan Kidul, Plebangan Tengah, and Plebangan Lower Hamlets. This year's clean lake activity took place at the Plebangan Lower Padukuhan Hall. In its implementation, the enthusiasm of the people of these three Padukuhans is still very high in holding their ancestral cultural traditions. This can be seen when this activity is purely funded by self-help from residents' contributions. That's the Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. I am Ahmad Faisal. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Kau lihat.
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany. VOI listener, today's Miscellany informs you about Indonesian film titled Labuan Hati in 2017, directed by Lola Amaria, successfully screened in New York. The screening was held at Turkish House, Turkish Consulate General in early May. This one of five films of MIKTA countries screened every Tuesday until June 4, 2024. Indonesian Consul General in New York, Winanto Adi, said MIKTA is a regional group promoting the strengthening of relations and cooperation promotion as a platform for dialogue and collaboration. The film Labuan Hati showcases the beautiful nature of Indonesia, especially in Labuan Bajo. Some 150 guests joined the MIKTA movie reception that served various snacks and beverages from MIKTA countries. The Indonesian Consulate General in New York served kue mangkuk, which literally means bowl cake made of rice flour, croquettes, and wedang jahe or herbal drinks made of ginger root. MIKTA is a regional organization consisting of Mexico, Indonesia, South Korea, Turkey, and Australia. The organization, founded in 2013, aims to build a platform for the diverse member countries to strengthen cooperation. Listener, Labuan Hati is a drama and road movie from Indonesia released on April 6, 2017. The cast are Nadine Chandrawinata, Kelly Tandiono, Uli Triani, and Ramon Yetungka. Labuan Bajo was a meeting point of the three young women, They took a boat together for 7 days and six nights under the guidance of diving instructor named Mahesa. This will bring them into friendship and rivalry to be the best in front of Mahesa. Well, listener, that's miscellany for today from Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voanews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Dear listeners, in today's Music Corner, I'm going to present a regional song from Banten entitled Bendrong Lesung. The song Bendrong Lesung was written by Hani Anita Susila and became famous and popular in the 1990s. The song was inspired by the Bendrong Lesung traditions of Banten farmers. They sound like a lesung, a rice-pounding place with a piece of wood that is thumped. This tool is usually used during harvest time. Usually they ring the lesung while singing. In the past, the Bendrong Lesung dance was played exclusively by adult women totaling 6 people by surrounding the mortar in turn. Now, the tradition can be played by players of various ages and even men. The song Bendrong Lesung expresses the spirit of the community in welcoming the harvestation and gratitude for the result they have obtained. This song is often sung during cultural events. Here is Bendrong Lesung from Banten, sung by Christine, Adrian, and Rotama. Enjoy listening to the song.
Of Indonesia.
Midnight alone in my room. Phone lights up, I know it's you. Just can't seem to keep my cool. You're somewhere else. Dreaming about the same sky. Watching the stars we pass by, learning about all the signs. I can't stop talking to you all night and day, seeing you but never face to face, waiting to dive in, but no.
us away. When you pick up the phone, will you tell me you need me? I wanna know before we fall into this restless love. Restless love. I can't sleep. It's been so hard not to leave. Go out searching for you in these empty streets. Oh, lately you're my saving grace. Hope that for you I'm the same. Don't even have to go asking. I'll be talking to you all night. Seeing you but never face to face. Waiting to dive in, but an ocean keeps us away. When you pick up the phone, will you tell me you need me?
Of Indonesia.
Berapa lama aku menunggu jawaban darimu? Sampaikah kepadamu kata-kata yang kurangkaikan agar kau tahu perasaanku yang telah lama terpendam. Inilah yang ku rasakan.
Jangan hanya bicara, ku tak perlu kata-kata untuk mengerti yang kau rasakan. Karena ku hanya butuh separuh hatimu di dalam hidupku untuk buatku bahagia. Sebut yang kau inginkan, apapun itu kan ku berikan. bersamaku di tempat dan waktu yang sama. Kau akan tahu perasaanku yang telah lama terpendam. Inilah yang ku rasakan. Jangan hanya bicara, ku tak perlu kata-kata untuk mengerti yang kau rasakan. Karena ku hanya butuh separuh hatimu di dalam hidupku untuk buatku bahagia. Semenjak kau ada di sini, ku mengerti betapa ku membutuhkanmu. Bila kataku tak cukup untuk buatmu mengerti, izinkan ku bertemu lagi denganmu.